So we've come to the next stage in our Relationships 101 series, our relationship with ourselves. And so as Andy said so well earlier this morning, we've been very intentional about our order in this series, as we believe having a healthy relationship with God, with Jesus, and with ourselves, these are all things that are critical in helping us have a better relationship with other people. And so today we're going to look at something that is really important, but honestly, I don't know if we preach on it enough, our relationship with ourselves. When it comes to our relationship with ourselves, we can very easily fall into one of two traps, one of two extremes. We can either think too highly of ourselves, or we can think too lowly of ourselves. Neither of these extremes are healthy, and neither one are attitudes to which God intends for us to live in. So when I look back on my life, I know I have struggled with both ends of the spectrum. So I remember when I was in high school, I was a hotshot who thought too highly of herself. And I have one example I want to share with you of how this rocked my world. So my senior year of high school, I decided to run for state office in the FFA. There is a picture of me and a friend, me and my FFA jacket. And so this state office, it was the highest honor that a student could achieve at the state level. And each year they only picked 11 students to do this. And so I spent a whole year preparing, memorizing all sorts of FFA procedures and history. I did hours and hours and hours of interview prep. And so when the day came, I thought that I had it in the bag. I walked into that interview room like I owned the place. I thought that office was mine because I deserved it and I was too good not to get it. And so I bet you can guess what happened when results were announced, right? There's laughter. You know, my name was not on the list of newly elected officers. So right there in front of God and everybody, I was given a big slice of humble pie. I learned that I was, in fact, not God's gift to this earth, and not everything in life was going to go my way. And so on the other extreme, let's fast forward to early 2020. I was preparing to go before the Board of Ordained Ministry to interview to be a provisional elder, so to be commissioned as a pastor and be given my first church. And so at that point in my life, I took the complete opposite approach. I remember sitting in the office of one of my friends, and here's a picture of us, Vicki Walker. She was, is a pastor at Hyde Park United Methodist, where I am was serving. And so I remember sitting in her office lamenting of how I thought I wasn't confident. I didn't think I was going to make it through, and I was trying to mentally prepare myself for disappointment. And so being the good friend and mentor that she is, she looked me dead in the eye and said to me very lovingly, but also very sternly, "You need to believe in yourself more." She encouraged me that I was more ready for this than I thought, and that I didn't need to walk into that interview room defeated already, that regardless of what the outcome ended up being, I didn't need to walk in like I had already been told no. And that was exactly the pep talk that I needed to have a healthy amount of confidence as I approached that interview. And so those two extremes, either thinking too highly of ourselves, thinking too lowly of ourselves, they are both easy traps for us to fall into. And so I thought it was amazing that when we look at the life of Gideon, a judge in the Old Testament, we see a biblical example of someone who experienced both of these extremes in his lifetime. So Gideon's story expands three chapters, chapter 6, 7, and 8, all in the book of Judges. And so while I can't read through every line of scripture in those chapters this morning, I am going to go through some of them and just overview the story for us as we go along the way. But first, let's set up some context in the book of Judges. This book is quite the interesting ride. It comes in the Old Testament after the Israelite people have been delivered from slavery in Egypt. And so they're trying to make a life for themselves, and they're trying to build a new nation in the Promised Land. And so at this time in their history, they're not led by a king. They're not led by any sort of elected leadership, but by men and one woman who were appointed by God and called judges. Thus the name of this book. And so also in this region is a group of people called the Midianites. And so it's hard to see in our context to understand why God seems to be so angry and so harsh towards these Midianites. But we have to understand what kind of things they were going through in Midianite culture. They were engaging in a lot of sin, a lot of idolatry, and in fact, child sacrifice was something that they were known notoriously for doing very often. And so when we think, well, yeah, they were up to a lot of bad stuff, that really helps us contextualize what was going on here and why God did not want the Israelites to become like the Midianites at all. And so Gideon is one of these judges appointed by God, but we see from very early on, very early in his story, Gideon did not have much, if any, confidence in himself. So from Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 22 in the Common English Bible version. The Lord's messenger appeared to him, Gideon, and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." But Gideon replied to him, "With all due respect, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his amazing works that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Didn't the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and allowed Midian to overpower us." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "You have strength, so go and rescue Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not personally sending you?" But again, Gideon said to him, "With all due respect, my Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my household." The Lord replied, "Because I'm with you, you will defeat the Midianites as if they were just one person." Then Gideon said to him, "If I've gained your approval, please show me a sign that you are really speaking with me. Don't leave here until I return. Bring out my offering and set it in front of you." The Lord replied, "I'll stay until you return." So Gideon went and prepared a young goat, used an ephah of flour for unleavened bread. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out under the oak and presented them. Then God's messenger said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and set them on this rock, then pour out the broth." And he did so. The Lord's messenger reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire came up from the rock and devoured the meat and the unleavened bread. And the Lord's messenger vanished before his eyes. Then Gideon realized that it had been the Lord's messenger. Gideon exclaimed, "Oh no, Lord God, I have seen the Lord's messenger face to face." And so I wish I could tell you after this miracle, after this test, that Gideon had complete confidence in God's call and God's ability to empower him to lead at this point. But Gideon did not. God decided to test him two more times, or Gideon decided to test God, two more times. Once he had some fleece on the floor and asked for the morning dew to be on the fleece and nothing else. And then he changed it. He said, "Well, no, this time let's make sure that the morning dew is on everything but the fleece, and then and only then I'll know." So after God passed those two tests, Gideon begrudgingly gathered this huge army, still scared to death to face the Midianites. And so then God kept telling him, send people back, until only 300 soldiers, Israelite soldiers, took on the Midianites and successfully defeated them. So we see through this that God was the one who provided the strength to Gideon, and that Gideon saw the potential for having this healthy view of himself and a healthy view of God's strength in his life, of having enough confidence to know that he could do hard things, but also having a healthy dose of understanding that God was the one who empowered him to do these things. Gideon's amazing victory with only 300 people against the whole Midianite army, well, we would think that God would deserve a huge chunk of the credit for that, right? But unfortunately, that is not what Gideon did. When we go ahead to chapter 8, we see that Gideon declares his intention to be a judge over Israel. And in that first moment, he does give credit and authority to God. But then we see very quickly that the fame and the power go straight to Gideon's head. In verse 27, Gideon fashioned a priestly vest out of it, being gold, and put it in his hometown of Ophrah. All Israel became unfaithful there because of it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his household. Gideon moved oh so quickly from not having enough confidence in himself to having a moment of healthy self-confidence and giving God credit to breezing right on by to making himself and his success and his power this idol that brings his nation and his family and even himself down in the process. His self-centeredness brings the nation of Israel into this place of idol worship, just like the Midianites, just like the people they were initially so afraid of in the first place. So we see Gideon at both extremes, thinking too lowly of himself and thinking too highly of himself, all in this fairly short account of his life and his legacy. And we see the negative effects of both extremes, that Gideon was not ready to be the leader that God wanted him to be until he had enough self-confidence. And then when Gideon was in that place, he was frozen. He was unable to do anything. And then on the other hand, we see the destruction that was brought when Gideon was too full of himself, when he brought his family and his country straight to ruin, when he allowed his arrogance to be an idol that turned Gideon and the nation of Israel into falling into those same traps of sin and idol worship that they were trying so hard to fight against. But in the middle of Gideon's story, even if it is ever so brief, we see the answer. We see for a moment that happy medium. We see the attitude that we all should be aiming for in life. In chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you and then your son and then your grandson, because you've rescued us from Midian's power." Gideon replied to them, "I'm not the one who will rule over you, and my son won't rule over you either. The Lord rules over you." Even if it's just for two verses, Gideon shows us the right attitude to have here. Gideon shows us the right relationship we are to have with ourselves. Here, Gideon is confident enough, he loves himself enough, he believes in himself enough to say yes to this critical task of leadership. But he doesn't say yes out of arrogance, out of self-centeredness, out of self-righteousness. He is quick to humbly point to God as a source of his strength. He is quick to note that he will only rule over these people with God's help, not out of his own power or of his own strength. And so I don't know which of these extremes you find yourself wrestling with in this stage, in this season in life. Like I explained to you this morning, I have been on both ends of the spectrum, struggling with thinking too highly of myself and struggling with thinking too lowly of myself. Maybe you are a caregiver or even a parent, and you struggle with whether or not you are strong enough to be the person that your loved one needs you to be. Maybe you find yourself in a new position or called to a new position in work or in ministry, and you doubt whether or not you are up to a task. Maybe you wonder if you are good enough to break generational cycles, to get past your hurts and your hang-ups and your sin, if you're able to break through those patterns of brokenness. And in all of those situations, and in so many more, what we need to remember today is that, yes, we are enough. Yes, with God's help, we are enough. But maybe for you this morning, you find yourself on that other extreme. Maybe you realize that if you're honest, you haven't been giving enough credit to God. Maybe you realize that your successes, your gifts, your abilities, your wealth, your things, that all those things are not because of your own greatness or strength alone. All those things that we have, who we are, what our gifts are, what our talents are, what our capabilities are, those are all gifts from God. And so we must remember to be humble and not be arrogant about what we have. And so being in this place, finding that happy medium, that allows us to have a healthy relationship with ourselves. It allows us to have a healthy relationship with God. And it is absolutely critical in getting this right first so we can maintain healthy relationships with others around us. You, with God's help, are enough, just the way you are, just the way God made you to be. And so that is something to live into. That is something to give thanks for, and that is something to celebrate every day. Let's close in prayer together. God, we thank you today for the story of Gideon. We thank you for this cautionary tale of what happens when we think too highly or too lowly of ourselves. Help us today to have healthy relationships with ourselves, to believe that we are the amazing people you have created and called and equipped us to be. Amen. We thank you for joining us in worship this morning. And so as we prepare to go from this place, may you hear the benediction. May you go from this place knowing that whoever you are, whatever your story is, you are a beloved child of God. With God's help, you are enough. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.